What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 64, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and, as always, helps the podcast keep on going. I'm with Derek this morning, as pretty much all mornings, but we're going to miss a couple. we're missing a couple coming up, right? You're not going to
be available. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be in Colorado riding my bike, so I'm going to be a little bit MIA.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
I don't think they like you anyways.
That's okay. I'm okay with that, you know? You have to be.
Yes. So we did talk about it last week, but I wanted to talk about it again because I've made even more improvements this week is on the website, working really hard. Still a lot to do, I would say, at least for me. But the website is very functional right now, even compared to last week. I fixed a lot of stuff. It loads extremely fast now.
Yeah, real nice.
It looks good. We've got some feedback from a lot of people. They really like it. They like the look. A lot of people are surprised because we really didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, usually you announce something like that.
Yeah, so I kind of just did it. So I'll be putting together a huge blog post in the next couple of days about all of the changes and how it's going to go going forward. But if you haven't been to the website in the past 2 weeks, definitely go check it out because it looks awesome, I think. And I think it's definitely a step in the right direction for sure.
I agree. So, I think it looks great.
Yes.
And I'm not just saying that because I write for the site. I think it looks good.
Yeah, I think it looks really, really good. I'm very happy about it. So, but yeah, let's jump right into reviews this week. And we have two pretty cool products. The first one is the Fantex Eclipse P400S case. And we all know Fantex for really great cases. They kind of jumped on the scene with cases, and they've done an extremely good job, in my opinion, with a lot of their cases. You know, it's not often that companies jump into the market like that and they have that big of an impact. And their Evolve series cases are one of my favorites. I mean, that's just an awesome case, I think.
Yeah.
So they came out with the Eclipse P400 and P400S. The big difference between both of those is that the 400 is a normal case and the S is more of a silent type case. Right. And we received the S version, but these are made to be a little more inexpensive. I mean, Fantex cases usually range between $100 and $200, depending on what you're getting. Yeah. So this comes in at $69.99 for the P400 and $79.99 for the P400S. So this is kind of, these are kind of aimed at people who don't want to spend a whole lot of money on their case, but also aimed at gamers because the case does have a really cool look and it does have a lot of cooling options inside. I think for the price, they did a really great job. It's not often that you're going to find a silent type case for under $100, I would say.
Yeah.
And this has
sound dampening material is expensive.
Yeah, so this has sound dampening material on both side panels, the front and the top. And the cool thing about the top is that it has removable panels. So if you want to install fans up there, you can, and you won't. You know, you can just take the.
They're just held on by magnets, right?
Yeah, they're just held on by magnets. And it's cool is that you have one for each fan placement. So maybe you're only installing one fan. You still get sound dampening qualities from the other one. You know, you don't have to take off one big thing.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a really good case. It's it has a ton of room inside. Fantex, again, is one of those companies that's kind of gone away from the optical drive bay, which I'm a huge fan of. Yep. I just think they're pointless these days. And
for the most part, yeah.
Because of that, you have a ton of room inside. So this will fit the longest graphics cards out there. You can also do up to a 360-millimeter radiator in the front. And if you remove part of the PSU cover, you can do a full push-pull and all that. So you have a lot of room in there.
Nice.
You know, insulation.
So basically a full-featured case for like $69.
Yeah, it's a full-featured case. One of the only – a couple downsides to the case – the top fan mounts, you're not going to be able to mount a radiator up there just because it's going to interfere with your motherboard.
Oh, okay. So you're restricted just to the front mount?
Yeah, you're just restricted to the front mount and the rear if you wanted to.
Right, like a 120?
Yeah, also there are no tie – there's – okay, so they have their own Velcro tie-downs that are back there. But besides that, there's no real other tie-down points on the back of the motherboard, which I felt was kind of odd.
Oh, there's no little hooks?
Yeah, there's no little hooks to tie things down, which is kind of weird for me. We're usually used to seeing that. Now, the included Velcro ones do a great job, but if you're routing some other cables or anything like that, it's just nice to have the tie-down points.
In all of their cases, I've noticed that whenever you run your 8-pin or 4-pin to the auxiliary motherboard input, there's nothing to tie that cable down over there.
Yeah, there isn't.
And I don't like that at all. Yeah. I always miss that because I want that. You can always tuck it in that channel behind, you know, the edge at the back of the case, and it always stays in place. But I don't like that. I want to tie it down.
Yeah, yeah. So, but besides that, those were like the two real downsides to the case. And talking about the sound dampening material, it is good, but it's not that thick. I've definitely seen better sound dampening cases out there as well. So this isn't okay. Like. On the quality, I'm trying to think of the really good silent cases.
Corsair?
Which one?
I don't know the name of it, but I remember them having like a really dampened one.
Well, like if I was thinking of like the older ones, like the Antec Sonatas, which were like, you know, extremely great sound dampening, and they were like $180, you're not going to get that type of quality, but it is going to make your system a lot more quiet. Another really cool thing about it is that on the front there is an LED strip, and the LED strip is RGB. And you can switch, you can cycle through colors with a button on the top. And the RGB strip is compatible with RGB controllers. So if you have the, like an NZXT Hue, or I don't know who else makes the controllers, or if you have like one of the new Asus motherboards that has the RGB headers, you can have all of your RGB strips in sync, including the one on the front. And this case does have a two-fan fan controller, which is nice. You don't see a lot of fan controllers on cases in this price range. So,
no.
Again, you have a ton of features here. I was really surprised.
That's all on the top, right?
Yes.
Right on the front of the top?
Yes.
Okay.
All of those buttons are actually under the kind of hangover on the front.
Gotcha.
So they're kind of hidden. So I really like this case. You can get it in a windowed or non-windowed version, and obviously the silent and non-silent. And again, both of those options have windowed or non-windowed, and they're the same price, which is pretty cool.
How good is the LED light that shines out from the bottom of the front? Because it kind of splashes out onto the ground in front of the case.
Yeah, it's actually pretty bright. That's the LED strip.
Yeah.
And it's actually really, really bright.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because that was one thing when we were showing this at CES, I was like, but how good is it actually going to be? Because if that doesn't really show up well, it's kind of just a gimmick.
Yeah, no, it definitely shows up well. It's just a nice little perk to have, and it's great that it's RGB, and it's that it is compatible with the other, you know, RGB controllers.
Right.
So that's really cool. So if you do buy, like I said, an NZXT Hue, and it has the, you know, the control box for that has the extra connectors, you know, you can connect more strips in there, you can have your whole PC in sync. Because the worst thing is that, you know, the front LED strip on your case is doing one thing, and then the one inside is doing something else. It just doesn't look uniform.
Yeah, for sure.
So this allows you to do that. And again, the same thing with the Asus, the new Asus motherboards that have the RGB headers allows you to do that as well. So pretty cool.
Some really cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I like the case. I definitely would recommend it if you're looking in that price range. It's one of the better ones out there. And there's no, like, there's nothing about this case that's like, oh, well, that sucks. Like, you know
oh,
what
no,
I mean?
Yeah. Because I would not expect you to have said that about Fantech's product, to be honest.
Yeah, because like there are deal breakers in some cases, you know, for a lot of people. But this one, while you don't get the water cooling at the top, you can do it. You could definitely do it in the front, and it's a big radiator. You can put it in the front.
I think that being able to do a 360 in an entry level case is pretty exceptional.
Yeah.
Usually, you're limited to 240, 280. So
yeah, and the tie down points in the back. It kind of sucks, but at the same time, you do have the Velcro straps, so you can, like, it just makes up for itself. And with this review, I did do a pretty cool time lapse of my installation, which I thought turned out pretty well. So that's in the review, so definitely check that out as well. And you took a look at a pretty cool mobile product, and I actually have never had this problem, probably because I don't drive all that often. You took a look at a product from Nanda, and it's their. Do you say Zeus or do you say Zeus?
I'm guessing Zeus.
Zeus?
Yeah, Zeus. Yeah, it's Zeus. Yeah, because there's a product video.
Yeah, it is their...
Very German product video.
It's a smart car charger. And what it is,
it's
a cool little device that it's a charger. So we've all seen these chargers that you plug into your cigarette port in your car, or I guess it's 12 volt port. Nobody who smokes cigarettes. I don't even know. But you plug it into there, and it gives you two USB charging ports. But on top of that, from my understanding, this product outputs a GPS signal, so and it links to an app so that you never forget where you park. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty cool because I know a lot of people, especially when you're going to, like, big events, I think this is great for, like, if you're going to, like, a concert or something where, like, there's 20,000 people parked, it's just easy to really find where you're going. You know, I think that's something I think a lot of people need, especially if you're, you know, out all day and you kind of just forget where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, I don't know. Did you like it? Since you reviewed it, I didn't review it.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. Obviously, it's pretty simple to set up. You just plug it in the cigarette lighter or your 12-volt port, whatever you want to call it. And you're good. And it's, you know, it turns on and starts up. You just download their app that they made for it, and it syncs with that. You got to create an account. But other than that, it's pretty simple to set up. I didn't have any trouble getting it to start. It connected right away. Basically, then every time you get into the car, it syncs with the unit. And once you turn it off, turn your car off, and it doesn't have power anymore, the app logs the last location that you are at. And then it kind of keeps, I mean, obviously it just keeps track of that GPS location. And then when you go to use it to navigate, it gives you a compass and shows you like the direction that the car is in. And it has a distance meter on it too. The distance meter was pretty much terrible. I was literally probably 15 feet from my car, and it said I was 200 feet one time. But that really comes more down to the fact of the way that your phone actually uses the GPS works on your phone using triangulation with cell phone towers. So it's not something we can necessarily blame Zeus for, but it's kind of like the technology isn't there to support the product necessarily at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was reading the review, is that, you know, that's not their fault. It's the GPS technology. You can't exactly, especially with the cell towers, you can't pinpoint an exact location, really. It's kind of hard to do that when it's, you know.
Like, sometimes it can be spot on, but more often than not, it's quite off.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was really cool about it is that there's like a timer in the app. So if you're somewhere where you're paying for parking and it's like every two, you know, a lot of these parking meters, you can only do 2 hours and then you have to go back and put in more money. You know, so that's kind of cool too. So you have that timer. So it reminds you, you can go back to your car and put in money so you don't get a ticket.
Yep. It wasn't Kickstarter.
Indiegogo.
Yeah, Indiegogo, and that was one of their reach goals. So they actually hit 1,200% of their funding, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
And so that was their reach goal, and they added that feature. One of the things that I find, like, the charging is okay. I paid more attention to it again since I wrote the review. Like, I obviously checked it out before I wrote the review, but I was like, I wanted to really, really watch it. And it's just okay. It's supposed to be like smart charging, and it's supposed to be, you know, the absolute best that, you know, your phone can handle, but it's nowhere near as powerful of a charger as my wall charger that came with my phone, or with some of the other chargers that I've used. Even my old Verizon wireless charger for micro USB charger, it actually seems to do a little bit faster job than this does.
That's weird.
But it is two ports, so that's nice. And you get good current on both ports, but it's just, I wouldn't say it's exceptional.
Yeah.
Is all. It's fine, but it's just not exceptional. The other problem too is that the entire time you're there, it's connecting to the thing, so it's using power. So maybe that's part of it, that it's actually, you know, using power while it's charging at the same time.
Yeah. Now, is this something that I can, like, you know, I can turn the app off, and then when I park, I can just turn it on real quick, get the location, and then be done?
No. If you turn off location settings, you can't access the app.
No, what I mean is, I'm talking about the, so I'm driving to wherever I'm going,
yeah,
right? I don't have the Zeus plugged in. I don't have the app on my phone.
Right.
I park, I plug in the Zeus, I turn on the app, it gets a location.
Yeah, it turns on pretty quick and gets going right away.
Yeah, so what I mean is, so I wouldn't necessarily have to use my battery up until the point that I park.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if you're using it as a charger, yeah. I mean, you probably want your phone plugged in. Yeah, then, like, personally, I have my phone plugged in every time I'm commuting, right?
Yeah.
So to and from work, I have my phone plugged in. And typically, you know, I can get a full charge pretty much by the time I get to work, and I wasn't able to do that.
Gotcha.
So and then the other thing that I would call the biggest downside to this product is the fact that you have to have location-based services turned on, which, if you don't know by now, that is the number one thing that will absolutely destroy your cell phone battery life. And in order to use this, it has to be turned on. Like I said, if you turn off location services, you can't even access the app anymore. So it's definitely a trade-off. You are going to lose a ton of your battery life if you're using this. But if you are somebody that's like constantly not finding your vehicle, maybe that's worth it to you.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, there are people, like, for us, you know, I know you don't, and I know I don't have a problem finding my car, but we're not in places where this could be a problem, and there's definitely use cases for it. Obviously, it was funded, people want it. For me, it's just not something that's super big, you know. I go to some big events sometimes, you know, where there is fields of parking.
Yeah,
But at the same time, I usually remember, and I don't get too drunk where I forget or whatever.
You at least get yourself to the general area, right? Which, in this case, Zeus isn't even going to get you, you know, so you're in the right row, but you can't find your car specifically. It's not accurate enough to actually get you right on top of your car, so it's not even going to help you out there.
Yeah.
This is more like this will get you into the general range of your car, and then hopefully you can find it from there.
Yeah.
It's also not going to help you out. It'll probably work okay in a parking ramp because you get, you know, an on and off GPS signal. But if you're ever in a building, like a mall or something, you don't have a GPS signal.
Yeah.
Like, just flat out, you don't. So it's not going to tell you at all where you should exit the building. If you forgot where you came in entirely, it's not going to tell you where you need to leave the building at. And then you might exit the building, like, you know, hundreds of feet from where you actually parked.
Here's a question that I'm not sure because I don't remember in the review. Now, does it show the location of where you parked on, like, a map?
It does, initially.
Okay,
it does that. But if you don't have a signal, the map goes away.
That's weird. Because it should always, I would think...
Yeah, okay, I thought the same thing.
Here's a snapshot of where you are, and I can always go back to that snapshot in case I lose internet signal, in case I lose GPS signal. I always have that snapshot, you know, that above view that has like the pin dropped, you know, on Google Maps of where my vehicle is at all times. I should be able to do that. And that's not in. It goes away if you lose signal. You're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why they would do that. You'd think it would, you know, just store that snapshot, but it does not. So if you bring up the app after you're parked and you're sitting in a building and it says no signal, the map that it has on there is like from somewhere in Europe.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's weird. Maybe that, but that's obviously a software thing, so they can fix that.
Yeah. Definitely. I also would like to see them, and maybe the sensors aren't there, but I would think they should be. But why wouldn't you have some sort of a charging meter built into the app that, you know, it's telling you the current that it's outputting and like an estimated charge time? I would think that that's something that's easily possible.
Yeah.
As well.
It's like I said, and a lot of these products, again, when they roll out new versions of the app and things might be included. But I do think it is a pretty cool product.
I gave it a 9 out of 10. I still think it's cool. I think it works because the compass is always right. It will always point you in the right direction.
Yeah. And as technology gets better, I think the product will obviously improve.
Yeah.
You know, app revisions and things like that. So that's pretty cool. And how much is that?
Right now it's $29.99. The list price that they said is $49.99. So I don't know if it's going to stay. It's on Amazon for $29.99.
Gotcha.
But I don't know if it's going to stay there.
I feel that's a pretty decent price. I mean, a lot of these dual chargers, especially from the more known companies like Griffin, are right around that price. And obviously you don't get the... with those, you don't get the
GPS.
Yeah, so I think that's a fair price, I would say.
I think $30 is the max.
Yeah.
$50 would be way too much in its current state.
Yeah, if they obviously made improvements, yeah. But I think 30 to 50 is it's reasonable for what you're getting. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we will move on from that to Case Mod Friday, because today is Friday. This week went fast.
Really fast.
Yeah, it's crazy. So today is Friday, and Case Mod Friday is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or build that's been completed in the community, just to show you what's out there and obviously to show off these awesome mods. And this one this week is called Project Rhino, and I believe this is the first custom build that's been completed in the new Hexgear R80.
I was going to say, this is not the standard hex gear. It can't be. That's yeah, it's huge. Way too much.
This is the hex gear already. One thing I really want to point out is that hex gear, since their inception, was like a year ago or a year and a half ago, they've really made a push to enthusiasts to do builds. And a lot of the builds that we've featured over the past year have been in their older R40. And now we have the R80, but they've really, you know, even before their cases are out, they have, there's like two builds that are going on or whatever. Yeah. I think that's really cool, and it brings a lot of spotlight, and all of the major case manufacturers should really take notice, because everybody notices an awesome build. And a lot of people who see an awesome build are like, I want my case to look like that. So if you do a build pre-launch that shows off your case, people are going to be excited about it at launch.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
I think you're 100% right on that.
Yeah. So this is one of these builds that I like to call a monstrosity, because he has four Titan Xs in there, which is pretty crazy. So the R80 is like the full massive tower from Hexgear. It's huge. It has ton of room for water cooling. I believe it fits a 480 in the top and bottom, which is huge.
Wow. I would actually guess that it's top or bottom, just based on where the power supply is at. I can't see putting a 480 with the power supply.
Probably a 360. It looks like he has a 360 and a 480.
Yep.
Yeah. But this build is really cool. It's not so much of a mod. It's more of a build. But it does have some really cool stuff in there. And obviously these hex gears are, from my understanding, you get them in pieces and you put them together. So that's one of the really cool things. But this is hard tubing. It has the blue liquid coolant in there. It looks really cool. Blue and I believe like light blue and blue and silver cabling, which I think looks really good as well. He has the cable combs in there, which organizes the cables, which... Again, I think it looks pretty awesome. This is a solid build. And I like to see ones like this because they're so clean. They're so nice. And it's something that you would want sitting on your desk. And this is a massive system. It's an X99-based system. Everything in the case is water-cooled besides the graphics cards, and the memory is not water-cooled either. But I just think
The graphics cards are water-cooled.
Besides the memory, I'm sorry. Besides the memory and the hard drives. I'm like losing my mind this morning, so it's all water cooled. It looks really great. There's just something about these builds that, you know, just a clean, nice build that I'm a huge fan of. And this is totally stacked out system. It's awesome.
I love the triple pump setup.
Yeah,
he's got three pumps stacked on top of each other with really, really sweet pump tops, and I believe it's a custom bottom. I can't tell if I don't think it's a D5. I think it's
they're D5s.
They are D5s. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. It looks a little smaller than that, but okay. Yeah, so he's got three of them like stacked, and like the way the tubing like runs between them, it's so cool.
And one thing that was really cool about this, if you go to the build log, was that all of the anything that had power, he made custom cabling for it. Like he sleeved all of the power connections for like those D5 pumps, all the power connections for the like fans and all that kind of stuff. Like so he did all that. It's really, really, you know, just a well done build. And this is by Pope, who we featured a couple of his builds on here already. So he does a really great job.
This is like the perfect launch build.
Yes,
like you can't do mods to a launch build, right?
Yeah, because you really want to show the case.
Yeah, you got to show what the case can do just stock, right? But yeah. this is as good as it gets otherwise.
Yeah, so again, big, good, just like good marketing for Hex Gear. They've done a really great job to bring awareness about their stuff.
And a note about the case, I really like the cable covers they have on the back.
Yeah, I don't know if that's stock or not. I'm not sure.
I hope so, because it looks really good. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I think they probably is, or you could buy the accessory, but it looks like, from the looks of things, that it's part of the case, because the back mounts, so you can see for the SSDs, they're the same design as that cable cover.
And those are like motherboard cutout covers too.
Yeah.
I would call them, you know. So actually, yeah, because I mean, you know, the back of your case is important to look good too, and that looks awesome.
Yeah, and it just makes it keeps everything organized too. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Definitely check out this build, and definitely check out Hex Gear if you haven't already. Really cool stuff. And we're running a contest right now. We are giving away 2 Zalman Z9 Neo cases. I talked about it last week, but it wasn't launched yet. So this contest is extremely easy. You don't have to do much. We're running it 2 ways. The first way is on YouTube. I link the video that you have to go to. You go to the video, you leave a comment, you're entered. That's it. It's that simple.
Nice.
And then we're also running a giveaway on Facebook. You go to Facebook, you have to make sure you like us and you like Zalman, and you fill out an entry form and you're in. It's real easy.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is extremely easy. It's US and Canada only. That's because of Zalman. That's, you know, they're giving away the product, so
yeah.
But sorry about that. But yeah, so really easy to enter. You should enter. I don't know why you're not if you haven't already. and it's gonna run all the way to the 29th of this month. So you have a lot of time to get in there. Real simple.
Easiest thing to do. Go on YouTube, leave a comment.
Yeah. It's that simple, and we'll definitely be announcing the winners come the 29th, so definitely get your entry in before that. And it is news week, and there is a lot of news this week. The big announcement, which actually happened right after our later in the day after our podcast last week, was that NVIDIA announced their GeForce GTX 1080 and 1070 graphics cards. And this is something that people have been waiting for a while. They had a special event where they announced both cards. Both cards are based on the GP104 silicon, which is a 16-nanometer fabrication process. And these are the first 2 cards of the GeForce 1000 series. To go to specifications, the GeForce GTX 1080, it has 2560 CUDA cores. The base clock is set at 1607 megahertz, and it has a GPU boost up to 1733 megahertz. This card will feature the newer GDDR5X, and it will have 8 gigabytes of it. And GDDR5X runs much faster than,
like, incredibly faster.
Much faster than GDDR5, and it's more power efficient as well. And the GTX 1070, we don't know the specific CUDA cores or anything like that, or speeds. We do know that it is based on the GP104-200 GPU, and it will also feature 8 gigabytes of memory, but it will just be GDDR5, not GDDR5X. The big thing about both of these cards is, according to NVIDIA, not only the GTX 1080, but the GTX 1070, they're both more powerful than a Titan X.
Which is insane.
They're both more powerful than a Titan X.
Oh, you didn't. The most important part to that, though, is the price on both of them,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, so.
Because, yeah.
What's really interesting, so, well, going into pricing here, the GTX 1080, the reference, which NVIDIA is calling the Founders Edition, will be $699, so $700.
Yeah.
But for some odd reason, NVIDIA is charging a $100 premium for that. So you will be able to get non-reference versions for $599, so $600. And a lot of those non-reference versions will be factory overclocked.
Nice. So for $600, you have a card that's half the price of a Titan X, and not just faster, but considerably faster, according to NVIDIA.
Yeah, and
2 to 3 times the performance.
And much better efficiency as well.
Power efficiency. Yeah, is it a single adapter, I think?
Yes, single 8-pin.
Single 8-pin, that's insane.
180-watt TDP.
That's insane. This card, I bet that they have just smaller versions of this card just straight up in laptops.
Yeah, and as far as display outputs go, you have 3 display port, 1.4 connections, HDMI 2.0b, and DVI. And the GTX 1080 will be available May 27th.
Coming right up.
Yeah, so right at Computex time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is pretty awesome there. The GTX 1070, that's going to be available a little bit later. It will have an MSRP of $379, and then the reference Founders Edition will be $449, and that will be available June 10th. And again, that is more powerful than a Titan X at $379.
At $379, just slightly faster though, right?
Yeah.
But still, it should not be faster than Titan X. Like, flat out, it shouldn't be, but...
Yeah.
But it is. So that just goes to show, again, according to NVIDIA, that this new architecture is phenomenal.
I mean, I think it's because we've been on 28 nanometer for so long.
This is a significant drop in size. So you're going
from 28 to 16, which is a pretty big drop.
That's a pretty massive jump.
So, yeah, I will definitely be getting one of these two cards. I'm not sure which one yet. It's kind of a no-brainer if you haven't upgraded in a bit.
Yeah.
Even if you have a 900 series card, it's still a good idea to upgrade. It's even going from a 970 to a 1070 is a massive jump.
The amount of people that have already put their Titan X's, their 980 Ti's, you name it, these extremely extremely fast cards in the past, they're all get put up on the classified for sale boards.
Yeah.
And just price dropped like crazy, because this is massive performance for very reasonable pricing.
Yeah,
that 1070,
that's
so long as the performance is like what they say it is, that is the best price performance I think that we've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's going to be like that. Like right now, the GTX 970 is the most popular card according to Steam.
Yeah.
So I think that over time, that the 1070 is. $379.
Oh, it's no brainer.
$379, more powerful than a Titan X.
I mean, it is the price of a 970, or at least what it was.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel stupid with my 970 here.
That's really great. And what's really cool is that we did get some real in-game performance. The guys from id Software were showing off the new Doom and running at 1920 by 1080 at ultra settings, it hit over 200 FPS on the 1080. So, you know, it is a very very powerful card. Yeah,
which that's a game that looks incredible too.
Yeah,
so it's not like they just went with like an easy old game. This game isn't even released.
Yeah, and it and it's on the highest settings, the ultra highest settings. Yeah. It looked awesome. And there's a video that we have linked in that post, so you definitely check it out. The one thing that I do have to say about that is that it was running Vulkan API, which gives a lot of performance.
Okay,
you know, a lot of games aren't based on that.
Right.
Or don't have support for it yet, but a lot of games will, so you will see this big performance. But I still think it's awesome. I think that any game where you turn VSync off and it was, you know, set at 60 frames a second and it jumps up to almost 200 is pretty impressive, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 200. It's not even necessary.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
And at what resolution was that running at?
1920 by 1080.
1920.
Yeah.
So you can expect, I would say, easily 100 frames at 4K.
Yeah.
On that game. And that's just a single one. Two GTX 1080s running SLI, that's going to be
incredible. Yeah, and one thing that pointing out about the GTX 1080 is that NVIDIA is really focusing on dual SLI. So there is, from what we know right now, there is not going to be any three-way or four-way SLI setups.
Oh, really?
They're really focusing on the dual SLI.
Just a dual?
Yeah, and we're not sure. From what we know right now, it's anything over two cards is not even supported in the drivers right now.
So long as they have perfect optimization on two cards, I'll take it. Yeah. It'll be sad to see because I love a quad build. It's an impressive thing to see.
Yeah.
But they've always been terrible optimization, and I'm sure it's just time and money NVIDIA doesn't want to spend on doing that.
Yeah, so as time goes along and we get to the actual availability of these cards, we'll find out all of that. But from what we know, it's only two-way SLI. But sure. Yeah, but also posted this week was that the reference PCB of the GTX 1080 was leaked because they only showed us the card at the announcement. They didn't show us anything else.
Obviously, they're getting into people's hands, though.
Yeah. So we know most of the information, but some of the more interesting things is it looks like there's a six-phase VRM on there, and it is finally confirmed that we do have the 8-pin PCI Express power connector, so you do have that TDP of 180 watts, which is very impressive. Mm-hmm. We already knew this, but the GDDR5X memory chips are smaller, obviously, than the normal GDDR5.
I like that you've got 1 gig chips on there, too. Just 8 1-gig chips. That's pretty...
Yeah, so we have a picture of the PCB if you want to geek out and take a look at that. It looks pretty cool.
The more nerdy side.
Yes. And a lot of companies have been releasing or announcing their Founders Edition, their reference cards. Yeah. But Zotac teased their GeForce GTX 1080 PGF graphics card. And I have to say, these look awesome.
These are dope. Seriously.
Look so cool. So
the lighting is so cool.
So we don't know what the side where the fan is, but the bottom side, it doesn't matter. Which will actually,
you don't see it anyways.
The bottom side, which will actually show up, they have sort of a metal and acrylic backplate that lights up, and it's like it looks like you have an LED strip going around your entire graphics card. Definitely go to this post and definitely check it out. It is awesome, and I would assume that this is RGB lighting. It just would make sense.
This is the just an acrylic plate. We've been doing this for years as mods, so that you get the edges of the acrylic shows up, right? But then they put the an aluminum plate over top of it, so it's not just like you have an acrylic panel on the back. It's a really, really awesome design, plus that crazy LED outlining.
And what's really great is to see this come. This is not like this is coming from a manufacturer. This is not, mod. Yeah.
It is a total mod concept that has been taken to production.
Yeah, so that is super cool. Obviously, I would be definitely excited to get one of these cards.
For sure.
Because you could definitely show it off. This is by far the one I'm most excited about. What's really great about these launches is the custom cards are going to be available for the 1080, and they're going to be available, I don't know, on launch date, I believe, from day one.
So, dude, it's got to be close, if not. Yeah, so Zotac wouldn't have this image if they weren't really close.
Yeah, so we're going to see so many different versions of these cards, and I'm super pumped about it, and this is one of the coolest ones, so definitely check that out.
That's actually the only one I've seen. Have you seen any others?
There's a couple, but they're not like this.
Okay, they're just kind of a standard, bigger, cooler.
Yeah, and a lot of companies have teased them as far as just like showing an outline of the card. This is actually a render from what it looks like. So we haven't seen any other ones really. We saw a couple other ones with different fan designs, but it wasn't anything like this.
Gotcha. Everybody probably saw Zotac and they're like, oh man,
yes,
we got to step it up.
Yes.
It's legit.
So moving over to the AMD side. It looks like AMD is going to be launching their Polaris graphics cards by late May, and so end of the month. And it looks like they have planned a launch event in Macau, China, a few days before Computex starts in Taipei. They have reportedly sent out media invites, and it's very limited. It's not like the GTX 1080.
Really?
1080 launch event where there was a ton of people there. This is going to be very limited, and AMD is expected to at least have a paper launch of the R9 400 series, which is the Ellesmere and Baffin chips. So, from what we know, that's what's happening. But it's not. There's like not a whole lot of information about a lot of this stuff, which is weird.
Yeah, I would have expected bigger, NVIDIA created a huge storm in the press with the 1080 and 1070 launch. AMD, I mean, they had all the momentum prior to that.
Yeah, I think this is
they need to do something. They should have done something big.
Yeah, so talking about that, AMD apparently has moved up their launch of the Vega architecture. So the Vega is the actual successor to Grenada. And this is their bigger chip. This is the multi-chip module that will feature HBM2. It'll be built on the 14-nanometer architecture, and this will offer even better performance per watt than the upcoming Polaris chips.
Gotcha.
What's really interesting about this story is that does this mean that Polaris won't even touch the 1080 and 1070? Because why would you need to move why would you need to move this up if Polaris is going to be like, spot on with the others?
Like they're planning to get stomped.
Yeah. So from what I can gather is, you know, they moved this up from early 2017 launch to October 2016. That's a big step forward. Step backwards, I would say. You know, but that just makes me think that the Polaris cards are
like they're gonna
go ahead.
No, well, they're gonna have to gloss over Polaris.
Yeah, and the Polaris cards,
because it's not
from everything that I've read and everything I've seen, I think they're gonna be very energy efficient and a lot of power for the energy efficiency, but they're not gonna be powerful to the effect of the GTX 1080 and 1070, from what I know. From everything that I'm gathering, this story here with them moving that up a lot is kind of like,
Well, and then we had heard rumors of, you know, at least the lower level cards being extremely, extremely powerful for price, but maybe they aren't going to have anything that's even flagship close to competing.
Plus, the thing is that, you know, you come out with something on NVIDIA side that's more powerful than, Titan X, or on par with the Titan X for $379, and you know, you're going to release something in Polaris that's maybe on par with a
980 Ti,
like a three, like on their side, like a 390,
right?
That's on par with a 390 for $300. Why wouldn't I just get the NVIDIA?
Why would I spend $80 more for a flagship card on NVIDIA side?
Yeah,
the equivalent of a flagship.
Yeah,
card.
So that's the thing here. It's interesting that they're moving this other card up, and it's not
good for them.
Yeah, and
I would say.
And talking about that, it's also come out that many of AMD's add-in board partners are extremely frustrated with AMD. That AMD isn't according to the story, that they're not able to offer up any type of competition towards NVIDIA recently. Just the timing of the Polaris unveiling, which is again supposed to happen at the end of May. And that the Polaris cards, you know, that might just be a paper launch. We might not even see Polaris cards at Computex. And, that AMD, according to this story, they haven't even shared any strategy or any details on what they're going to do to counter the GeForce 1080, 1070 with their partners yet. If you didn't know, AMD hasn't launched a new performance segment GPU since 2012. Everything that we've seen has been rebrands of their higher-end chips. That's all we've seen. We haven't seen an actual new chip since 2012. So if I was a partner...
Why would you want to keep buying?
You have these cards, like, and you're telling AMD, how am I supposed to sell these? You guys don't have any strategy to counter against the 1080 and 1070. Who's going to buy these cards?
Yeah, why would I buy this? Why would I buy this board from you?
Yeah,
if it's not going to sell.
Exactly. If I was an add-in board partner, I would be kind of upset, especially if there's nothing out. If AMD is not giving me anything, is saying, well, how are we going to counter this 1080 and 1070 launch? If they're not giving me anything, I'd be like, well, what? Like, you know, I can't keep waiting. I'm losing money here. I need to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
No
successor to the Fury series.
Yep.
So. Yeah, man, I thought that we were seriously coming to I thought AMD was about to become seriously competitive.
Yeah.
And I'm a little disappointed to see stuff like this now. It's not because I like want, not because I'm an AMD fanboy or anything like that. I've almost owned exclusive NVIDIA cards, right? But we need the competition in the market.
Yes, we do.
So, come on, AMD, do something. Please.
Yeah, it's you were really excited just to see the competition, and so was I, because I think when there's competition, it obviously makes the market better, and it leads to more innovation because you have to compete.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if NVIDIA's blowing them out of the water,
if you only want minimal steps forward in each card series, then you don't want competition, right?
Yeah.
So. Yep. Come on. We're ruined for you, Red. Come on, Team Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care who makes the best card. I just want awesome new tech, right?
Yeah.
Same so, here. And obviously competitive pricing is beneficial to everyone, so.
Yep. So we'll have to see. Obviously at the end of this month we'll have all the information on Polaris, cuz hopefully it'll be out by then. And we'll see how it does, and we'll see if we see any of their cards at Computex. So
yeah,
so that's all we can really say.
Yeah, yeah. I see like a really, really silent, like they just are going to kind of launch.
I think it's because every time we get excited about AMD, then we're disappointed, right? Like when AMD had their Fury launch, I was super excited, and then it just came down to the performance wasn't there.
Yeah, and then they weren't available either. They weren't giving them to everyone.
Yeah, it was just bad. And now I was super excited because we heard all of this stuff about AMD, and then NVIDIA comes out and it's just like, what now? Like, what are you gonna do? Because we just crushed you.
I think, which is exactly what we want to see.
Yeah.
But they need to have an answer, you know.
Yes. So we'll have to see, and obviously we'll keep everybody updated. Again, we both love to see competition. We'll see if it happens or it doesn't happen. But obviously, moving that launch up of Vega, it seems that they're trying to do something. So we will definitely
just move on to their next process.
Yes. So we'll move on from all of the graphics card news this week to some motherboard news. And Asus launched some really cool boards
These are awesome.
So they announced the ROG Strix and their X99 Signature boards. So the X99 Signature, which makes up the X99 Signature... the X99 Signature and the X99 Deluxe 2 and the X99A... and the X99E are all of these newer boards that are coming out for the Broadwell E launch. And the signature boards are pretty cool. They look pretty good. But the big show of this car these new boards is the ROG Strix. So this is the X99 Strix.
Yeah. Have we seen an X99 Strix before?
I don't think so. This is the ROG Strix X99 Gaming. And this board is really, really awesome. They're going huge and heavy on the RGB lighting. Yeah. So the things that light up on the board is there's a Strix logo over the rear I.O. There is an ROG logo on the PCH heatsink. There is a Republic of Gamers logo in the middle of the board that lights up. And one thing that I've never seen before...
Never, ever.
...is that the latches or the releases for the PCI Express cards also light up. And everything is RGB.
And it's awesome. It's not just like there's lights behind those latches. Like, it's the actual latches themselves are clear.
Yeah, and then...
And there's RGB lighting behind them. That's so cool. I never would have guessed that we were going to see that.
Yeah. Really awesome stuff here. Again, it's great to see when we have these new launches because we have a ton of new boards coming out.
Yeah.
And these are... This is an awesome board.
Dude, I want this board.
Yeah, it's an awesome board.
Yeah. And not only that, but even LEDs aside, it's a good-looking board.
Yeah, it's a good-looking board, ton of features. It has Supreme FX audio. It has everything that you would want. It has Intel gaming networking, which is really, really good. A lot of good stuff on this board. And I believe this board also has the RGB headers. I'm almost positive it does. If I can look, I think I see them.
Yeah, I think it
does. So you have those. So if you can have your RGB lighting on your motherboard, match whatever RGB strips that you get as well. A lot of cool stuff on this board. And
oh, and it's the OC socket.
Yeah, of course. And it looks like we have U.2 connections on there as well. So a lot of cool stuff.
Everything you would expect and awesome design.
Yes. 802.11 AC Wi-Fi as well.
Not to mention you get to run those sick new CPUs in it.
Yes, Broadwell E's. So yes, that's one of the coolest ones I've seen. We're going to see a lot of these. Again, coming up to Computex, we'll have a lot of launches and leaks on motherboards as well as graphics cards. So definitely stay tuned for all of that.
I like where we're heading with X99 because X99 is generally, you know, it's your workstation. So they don't, I mean, they do a little bit of design with the board, but they don't go Strix or ROG with it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I hope we see a bunch more of this from all of the competition.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of cool stuff you'll see with X99 coming up. That's definitely exciting about it. And we have two cases that were announced this week. The first one comes from Cooler Master, and this is their Master Case Maker 5. And I do have to say that I am a huge fan of the Master Case series from them. It's just like, it's a case that's made for builders. Everything in the case is modular. You can change things out. It's one of those cases that for the longest time I never thought Cooler Master fully thought out their cases. After the Cosmos series, they kind of just fell behind, and that happens. These, everything in this case is thought out. Everything is modular. There's a ton of accessories that you can buy to add on. These are awesome. They're builders' cases. They're made for builders. I use the Master Case 5 as one of my main test systems because it's so easy to build in, and I change it out all the time. Nice. So this is the Master Case Maker 5. It's awesome. We should be getting one of these into review, so definitely stay tuned for that. But they're just great cases.
What form factor?
I believe this is a mid-tower.
Okay.
Yes, I'm almost positive, unless there's a expansion. I believe this is a mid-tower. Yeah.
It's certainly not huge.
Yeah,
but
one thing again, these cases are great because there's a whole ecosystem behind these cases. You know, everything is built a certain way, so you can buy accessories, you can get different things. It's really, really cool. And I'm almost positive that Cooler Master gives out like the specs or the designs for this, so you can build your own stuff or 3D print some of your stuff. Like they do all that, which is really cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's really, really cool. Definitely check these out because they are awesome cases. If you're a builder and you want an easy building case, and these cases do look good too, I have to say, and they're extremely high quality material. One of the most solid steel cases that's out there. They're just extremely solid material, which is a huge thing, especially if you're transporting cases to lands and stuff like that. You don't want a cheaply made case, and these are extremely well built.
Thanks.
And we have a monstrosity of a case from Lee and Lee.
It is about the best way to describe it.
They announced their PC-09, which is a dual compartment. This is made for ultimate water cooling. It's huge. It's a massive case that's going to be selling for $439. But it is all aluminum, and it has the tempered glass panels, one on the front part, half of the front, and the one side panel is all tempered glass, and it's real glass. It's not acrylic. So this is a huge case. Can fit pretty much any water cooling setup that you want for the most part.
Pretty unique case as
very
well.
Very unique. Dual chamber. So you have the motherboard on one side, it looks like, and you have everything else on the other side.
But it's not just like the motherboard. Like it's kind of like a, it's like a case attached with a case attached to the back of it, sort of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of.
It's kind of like a fish tank on the front, sort of.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Because of the way the panels are.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good analogy, I would say. It's a good looking case. I love these big, huge dual chamber Lee and Lee cases. They're awesome.
yeah. They do. Lee and Lee does a lot of things, but this is kind of one of these cubes.
Yeah.
They do a good cube.
They do a very good cube, and it's like again, extremely high quality material, high quality craftsmanship. There's just something about getting an all aluminum case because again, most of the cases that you have, and that we have are usually steel. And maybe we'll get an aluminum front panel, aluminum front bezel to make it look cool. But getting an all aluminum case is definitely like an experience, I would say.
It's a different level. It's like going from like a Corvette to a Ferrari.
Yeah, it's
they're both fast cars, but one of them is certainly different.
Yeah, for sure. So, these are awesome. I remember getting my first Lian Lee case, and I was just like, wow. And the craftsmanship is there. It's just like it's so good. There's no like some of these cases that you get. There's just a little, like, not defect, but minor little things that are kind of messed up, and, like, the paint will chip off or something like that. These are just extremely high quality, just amazing cases. So definitely, if you're looking for a high-end case, Lian Lee is one of the top ones that I would recommend for sure.
Pay for what you get.
So this case, PC-09, it will be available in mid-June. So, yes.
Probably showing at Computex.
Yes, they'll have a lot of cool stuff there. So, it's pretty awesome. So, the other big announcement this week for all of the gamers out there is that...
Also last Friday. It
actually happened on Friday as well, after our podcast, is that DICE and EA announced Battlefield 1. So, we weren't really sure. A lot of people were thinking it might be Battlefield 5. But it is Battlefield 1, and the reason why they're calling it Battlefield 1 is because it is based in the World War One time era. Go ahead.
It's an alternate reality World War One, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think.
I thought I saw that somewhere. Mentioned that like it's not necessarily like historically accurate.
I don't think it's historically accurate, but it's based on the time period.
It's
not necessarily based on, okay, you're going to go do this that was
bad. You're the Germans and then they're the British. Yeah.
But it's based on a time period. And the reason they like this time period is that this time period is really described as the dawn of all-out war. So there's a big mixture of gun battles, melee combat, and vehicles and all that kind of stuff. And one of the more interesting things about this is that there's going to be horses and cavalry in this game.
Yeah.
And that's a new thing because there's never been a mount, I would say, for Battlefield games. So it's very interesting. And the melee combat is going to be pretty heavy in this because, again, it's not going to be all shooting. Again, in this time period, there was a lot of battles where there was cavalry and there was guys using swords and stuff in specific countries and things like that. It was
extremely close combat. Yeah,
extremely close combat. I'm really excited for this game. I will probably get it just because I've been a huge fan of the Battlefield series up until the last one.
Hardline?
I just think I love World War One, World War Two time period as well. I think it's just a great time, especially for games like this. And I've always liked games where you're kind of put back in time. The modern games are great, but I just think having that...
I think this one can be really good. I'm not as big of a fan as you, but I think that this one looks like it can be really good. And I almost for sure am going to ditch Battlefield 4 for this.
About time.
it's a big statement for me to say.
Yeah, especially how much you play that game, yes.
I'm very committed.
One of the cool things is... Well, two cool things. The first... is that some of the really cool vehicles in here. One, it looks to be a Zeppelin, which would be pretty interesting to see how you would actually fly that. The second is the World War One style planes. The
biplane and triplane?
Yeah, the really cool planes. And also, there's a flamethrower in this.
Whoa. Of course there is. And there's gas masks. Yeah, there's
gas masks, so we could see something where there's like,
some mustard gas. Yeah,
gas and things like that. And again, very melee. And the melee is going to be pretty well done from what we've heard in this game. So it's not going to be like a lot of games where the melee combat's really bad.
So long as it's not like... so long as I sneak up behind them and I hit V.
Yeah.
And then they die. It should be like... Like, you have to strike them here. You know, kind of like a Mortal Kombat,
Yeah.
I'd like to see, like not nearly so, like, intense, but, like, you need multiple hits to actually kill somebody. Unless you have, like, that perfect hit or something.
Yeah, I think the melee combat's going to be really good in this, from what they've, what they've said. I'm definitely excited about it. It will be available on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 on October 21st. For those who pre-order, there's an early enlister deluxe edition. You'll be able to start playing October 18th. And there will be an open beta. And people who subscribe to EA Access and Origin Access will be able to play for a limited time before the game releases as well. So those are ways to get in. But definitely will let you know when the beta will happen. It won't be for a while. The game will be shown off. There was no real gameplay shown in this. Mostly all...
They said it was in-engine footage.
In-engine footage, yes. But I think if you're going to be in Los Angeles on June 12th, there'll be EA Play events in Los Angeles and one in London. Well, I believe you'll be able to play the game. So nice. Definitely, if you are in those areas... definitely check out, I think you could probably just Google EA Play events and you can find where it's going to be and how you can get tickets. I don't know if there's tickets or how those all go, but I would definitely, if you're into this game, definitely go out and try it. But it looks awesome. Yeah. And we do have the trailer in our article, so definitely check out the trailer. That's awesome as well.
Yeah. I'm hoping, it's one of the ones that the weapons are slightly inaccurate so that it's not, or the guns themselves, you know? Yeah. So it's not just like somebody masters it and then they just wreck because they own one because the guns or whatever. So
yeah.
That it's more involved than just getting the best gun. You know what I mean? Because like that's kind of one of the things in Battlefield 3 or Battlefield 4 and 3 that kind of break it a little is the overpowered gun that, everybody uses that same gun eventually.
Yeah.
Because there's one that's definitely better than the others. So hopefully... it's a more even playing field across all the different weapons that you've got designed.
I think that they're really taking a lot of gamers' insight on this. They actually had events where they had people who are gamers come in, people who are big Battlefield gamers come in.
Yeah.
And they got to play the game already, and they got a lot of feedback on playstyle and things like that. So I think... they're cool. Definitely taking gamers into consideration and what they would want in this game. And obviously things can improve as it goes on, which is cool. So I'm definitely excited. I will probably get it for sure.
Yeah.
Coming up next week, we have some cool stuff. I've been working on a lot of these reviews for a while, and I feel bad that I haven't got them done. But I've been doing a lot of cool video stuff, which you'll definitely see in upcoming reviews, learning to do certain video things, and of course, updating the website and keeping it running here the way I want, not when I originally changed it over to the new design, which is pretty bad, in my opinion. So I got a lot of things working this week. But as I said last week, I will be taking a look at the Gigabyte Bricks, and this is their Skylake version. This is their mini PC. It is awesome. It's just a small little PC, and I love this form factor. I love this form factor for a lot of reasons. It just makes it easy. It even makes this something that you could travel with that if you didn't have a laptop, you could definitely travel with this.
Oh, yeah. Or perfect presenter tool.
Yeah, it's a perfect presenter tool, and it's so easy to just throw this in a bag or something like that. And you can hook it up to the TV in your hotel room very easily. Just a cool little product. I'll be taking a look at that, so definitely stay tuned for that. I'll also be taking a look at Corsair's M65 Pro RGB gaming mouse. This is their made for FPS gaming mouse. Really, really nice mouse. One of my favorite mice. Has an aluminum design, which I like. Really high quality. Cool. Really great stuff in there. Definitely stay tuned for that review because I'll be getting to do some gaming, which I'm pretty pumped about because I haven't played a game in a while.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'd be taking a look at Thermaltake's Core X31 case. This is part of their Core series. This was launched at CES. And this is their mid-tower case. It's really cool. Really, just Thermaltake has done a really great job at making, again, builder's cases as well. These cases are extremely modular, really easy to use, all support water cooling and a lot of other cool stuff. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And definitely stay tuned for some cool videos because I'll be, again, doing some cool stuff with these products. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Looking forward to it.
So that is basically all we have this week. At the end of each podcast, we try to talk about stuff we did this week. Did you do anything fun?
No.
Some?
Basically, no. I watched Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley.
I watched Silicon Valley, not Game of Thrones. Yeah. I think I'm done with Game of Thrones.
Really?
I just don't have the time.
It's a much longer
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I like shows, but like half an hour show is perfect for me. I can't get more than half an hour, I don't think. But yeah, Game of Thrones is awesome. I was into it for a while. I haven't watched last season at all, or this, maybe even the season before. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, certainly no reason to jump in right now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I could jump back in and caught back up, I would say. But
yeah, it would take you a while.
Yeah, I don't have that type of time right now. I'm doing a lot of stuff. But yeah, I don't think, what else did I do this week? I'm right on with Silicon Valley. So definitely like that.
Yeah, that's good. I wanted to go see a movie this past weekend, but I just feel like there's nothing worth watching.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there.
Even the Marvel comic stuff that's coming out, that's out. I just have
You know what I did
in.
Do is I completely redid my office. So I forgot about it. It's very clean. It's very organized and it's very functional. Everything serves a function. I should do a blog post or a video for the site on it. So that'd be pretty cool. Because everything. I bought a bunch of shelves, all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
Completely organized and very, very functional.
Bob is upgrading his
life. My life and making work much easier and functional. So. So yeah, guys, that is it for this podcast this week. As always, we will have our full show notes page that has the links to everything that we talked about. So as I'm saying, you should check this out. You know, you can go ahead and click right into the article. And as always, just go to Think Computers or search Think Computers, all one word, on any of your podcasting services. You can find us. Definitely help out if you subscribe as well. Until next week, catch you guys later.